Can you see me off?
Jinji, how many times do I have to tell you to leave Pinocchio's underwear alone?
But it's a thong!
Oh, hi! Welcome! You must be Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football. I'm...
me. What's up, everybody? I don't do impersonation, sorry. So, welcome to Clocks Running. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Ant.
Hey man, I told you we were gonna have a special guest tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just letting it go. I was trying not to laugh. I wanted to hear everything you had planned there, so just letting it unfold.
What happened? What's going on? We had a special guest come on and just say hey real quick and just keep it moving.
It's cool. Yeah, we're just gonna keep it moving, I guess.
That's wow. Okay. We're gonna.
Hey, so you know we're back with another episode. We're over here live on Instagram. I see people coming in the chat. You know, comment, say what's up.
Totally missed out.
Yeah, I think they did. It's okay. They'll get it on the replay. You know, maybe you have to put it on later on in the show at some point or something. I don't know. Is that your Halloween outfit? Is that what you're going
so,
with?
So, first of all, you don't have outfits for Halloween. You have costumes.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about
what
that.
What kind of, you know, what kind of rock like you've been living under?
First annual tournament.
We don't do first annual. That's a pet peeve of mine. If you first annual, just it's inaugural. Hey, Autumn,
okay, sorry.
You ever gonna play in a tournament again?
Yeah, what happened to the players? Is there some
the
like
players played out?
Okay.
In.
Wow, that's wild. I don't think you should say player ever again.
Well,
all right, we gotta get into the show, man, and we're gonna go down too many rabbit holes. So
let's do it.
Tonight we have two very special guests out of Southern California. This is going to be a fun show, so let's bring them on. I do not mess up Malia's name. I hope I said that right. But Chris and Malia, welcome to the show. Hello.
What's up, everyone?
Hey,
and you
welcome.
Did.
That's it.
You said it right.
So okay, good.
Right.
Said it.
There we go.
All right, cool. Welcome to the show. Thank you guys for coming. It is bright and sunny in California over there. I see you guys at like 4:30 in the afternoon. So,
yep.
We are
a little bit of heat.
Yeah, we are rainy and cold and dark here on the East Coast right now.
Yep. Yes, we are.
That's tough.
So let's get right into it. With new guests, we'd like to give you guys the opportunity to kind of share your origin story. So, Malia, this is the opportunity where your dad's going to share his glory days and talk about when he used to sling the rock and all that stuff. So give him his shine, and then really after that, the show turns to you. So go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? Chris Estrada. So I've been involved in flag, I want to say, since 2006. I've been playing since, you know, I was in college. You know, just trying to stay active and playing and, you know, just been playing through different leagues throughout Southern California since then. So, going on like 19, 20 years. So body's feeling it now. Haven't played as much as I would like to. And it's really because of her and, you know, her team and just being on the field coaching her. So it's been super cool just to see the fact that, you know, obviously I've been playing, you know, I'm transitioning to coaching her, being a part of her successes and all that good stuff. So sucks not being on the field playing, but I still get my competitive juices out when I'm coaching her.
Yeah, for sure. So Malia, just to turn to you, when did you start playing? How old were you?
I think I was like 6 when I started playing, and it was just some like rec leagues. And then when I was like, that's
Okay. And so what is it different competition-wise, aggression, adrenaline, all that, seeing your dad playing from coaching, or is he kind of the same kind of guy?
I'd say it's kind of the same, like, energy.
For sure. So let's talk about this team, SoCal Reign. Chris, you started that team, right?
Yeah, so we started the team back in July of 21, and that was really just to talk about what Malia was saying. Is she played in rec leagues when she was six. She was always the only girl on every team that she played on. So Juice and I actually started the team together, and it kind of started like during COVID. Obviously, everything shut down here in California, but we played in a couple tournaments in Texas. I want to say in June of 2020, June, July 2020. And we just kind of saw how it was kind of eye-opening how big, like, number one, that everything was still open over there. They were playing tournaments. and just how big Flag was, and specifically Girls Flag, right? Because we had heard of a couple teams like Texas Fury, Bad Rabbits, and all that type of stuff. So when we came back, Malia played out there. She kind of jumped on an all-boys team out there, played in that tournament. It was, I forget what USA Flag was back then. I think it was like FFWCT or something like that. So. Yep. We played in that one. It was the Texas Nationals, and, you know, we kind of had a discussion that that's what she wanted to do because she had played softball, soccer, and it was like, hey, we're going to focus on Flag. And then, you know, kind of started having the idea, running it by with Juice, and like, hey, like, let's try and start an all-girls team, right? Like, there's not a lot of teams out here. At least we didn't know any out where we are in the Inland Empire. So we started, and it was really just asking, you know, friends who had daughters, friends of friends who had daughters. And like, we were an 11U team. We had like 8, 9 girls. We had some 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds on there. So we were getting our butts kicked whenever we were going to tournaments, still playing against the boys. And then gradually we just started to grow, right? The next year it was a 12U team. We got some girls that were talented, that wanted to come try it out. And then we grew to like a 12U and 14U team in 23. And then in 24, it was 12s, 14s, and 17s. And then once it became a CIF sport here in California, like, it just blew up for us. After last year, which was the first year for a lot of girls, we just had so much interest. And our program really started to grow. And we're starting to see that. And we're just really trying to build on that growth year after year. So it's just kind of crazy to see from when we started it 4 years ago, when it was just like begging people to like, hey, just get your girl, like, get your daughter to try it out, you know? And now, you know, those same people that didn't want to play, like, their daughters are playing in high school. It's like, hey, you should have did it 4 years ago when we talked to you about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but, absolutely. What, when did you see like the transition of you having to play like a bunch of boys teams to being involved in like all girls tournaments or all girls leagues? When did that happen?
It was probably like, I would say like within the first year we started to see it, but it was really like, we would go to tournaments and there would be like, I think it was our second or third tournament. There was only two girls teams. So it was like, all right, you have to play your seeding games against the boys and then you have a girls championship. And then it started getting to the point where it's like, all right, there's three teams in our division. There's four teams. So I would say that was still within like the first a year and a half to 2 years, maybe. Then it started growing. You get like these eight teams in divisions. And now it's crazy. Just the amount of teams that are in there. And now it's like, we're getting to the point where it's like, hey, now we potentially could have, you know, like an A division, B division in these tournaments and these leagues, because you have girls that are just so darn competitive. They're so good at this sport. And then like, you don't want them playing against teams that are just starting. Right. Because we were in that position when we started. We were getting 28-0 every time we played, you know, and thankfully our girls stuck with it. Right. They stayed the course. And now they're one of the more competitive teams, you know, out there in Girls Flag. But it's tough, like, when you're starting. So but it's cool to see all these teams that are just popping up. It seems like every other day.
Which, hats off to you for being able to keep a team together and keep fighting through that, because I think today, in today's world, I see it in adults and youth, where the resiliency is not there. You know, everybody wants instant success. They want to win immediately. They want, you know, they want to be able to take the pictures and get the rings and all that stuff. And to be able to stick it out when there's not success immediately, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been pretty cool to see, because we've had a few girls that, I want to say like four or five girls that have been with us since the beginning, since we first started. you know, so it's cool to see them because we did get our butts kicked the first few tournaments, and
Sure.
to see them shining and their respective sports, their respective high schools, and then obviously on the travel circuit too, just to get the recognition that they do, it's pretty cool to see, and I'm thankful to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Malia, as far as you playing, and I know you were kind of on the younger side of it, and there's times when you've had to play up and all of that. How do you keep your confidence up as a quarterback and some of these tough losses? What do you do to just kind of keep moving forward? And no, I have goals in mind. How do you do that?
I mean, I think I just do it for my team. Like,
Yoda. It cut
No,
out
I
there a
didn't hear
little
that.
bit. I was gonna say I could hear talking about the team a lot. It kind of faded out. You guys
I was
heard?
getting a call. I was on my phone, so the call was coming in, so I think it kind of cut out. But
Okay.
yeah, she says she tries to
Yeah,
bring up
sure.
her yeah, she tries to bring up her teammates and just trying to she knows that you can if you want to say it again.
I keep the same mindset, like no matter like what situation we're in, and just like keeping up my really.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what's something? Ant sent me some of the highlights. You've got a rocket arm, number one. So, what's kind of a goal? Who's a quarterback that you emu like that you want to kind of not necessarily impersonate, but kind of style your game after? And can't say dad.
I'd say like Peyton Manning.
Okay. All right, now why Peyton Manning?
First of all, he played for the Broncos, and
Broncos fan.
Okay. All right. Everybody makes mistakes. It's fine.
Okay, what about a flag player?
A flag player. There's not too much like baseball.
Who's your favorite, though?
She's the quarterback for the Mexican National.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
okay. I like that. Yeah, we were talking all about Dean was talking all about that last week. How
Was.
Okay, cool. So let's now talk about, kind of switching over from SoCal Rain into high school flag. Now, you guys it just so happened that like the timetable worked out for Malia because right, you're going into high school and it becomes a sport. So, Chris, was there a certain consideration on where you wanted her to go to school, or is it just the zoning and that's where she landed?
No, she goes to Western Christian right now, so it's a private school. But when we were looking at high schools, it was number one because I knew, like, I've caught talking with her, she wanted to take it serious. Like, she wanted to play in high school. So number one, we wanted to make sure the high school was going to have flag, because if not, then it was just kind of a waste of that first semester of school because she wanted to play flag, right? So there was a school, one of the schools she was supposed to go to because it's in our district, and they're not really the greatest athletically. So it's like, all right, I know you want to go here because all your friends are going here, but we have a couple options, right? And then all three of the schools that we were considering, I put my hat in the ring to kind of be the head coach because I wanted to continue coaching her, right? So everything worked out, thankfully. At Western Christian, like, they didn't have a flag program, but the athletic director, the principal that were there, they kind of believed in my vision for the program, and thankfully brought me on board. So that's kind of like where Malia came in. So I knew once, that came to fruition, and I got the head coaching job, it was like, all right, I need my quarterback now too, So it was kind of, if that didn't work out, we kind of would have probably she probably would have went to another school. But the fact that I got the head coaching position, it was like, all right, well, we're gonna do this together, So that's kind of
That's
how
awesome.
the high school decision came in.
Yeah, so have you had to face any of your like former teammates or guys you used to play against in some of these high school games?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the cool thing about it, right? Because you're not used to being competing against them, because we're always, competing against everybody else. So, last year competed again, like we played against Juice, and it happened to be in the championship of a tournament game, right? And then just seeing all the girls locally, like, because we played all the schools in the Inland Empire, and our girls are scattered throughout the Inland Empire. So being able to play against them, like, it's cool, but then at the same time, you know what they can do on the field. So it's like, man, like, I hope they just don't kill us today, And then as it turned out, last week we played against Upland, which is our crosstown rival, but Leah Davis, who's a superstar on our team, she killed us last week. You know what I mean? Like, we couldn't contain her, and it's like, man, like, I love the fact that you're balling today, but I wish it wasn't against us, So yeah, so they took us out, but it's cool to see, like, they don't get a chance to compete against each other all the time, right? They do in practice, but it's different seeing them, play for their high schools and competing against each other. So yeah, it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, no, go ahead, Jacob.
I was gonna say, do you guys, I think you still have a couple years left of high school, but are we seeing like any, like, at the next level, like at college? Are we starting to see college coaches, college scouts coming in and checking things out?
There's a lot more camps that are coming about as far as, like, different, colleges out here that are hosting them, where you'll get a lot of the college coaches, like, come to these different showcases, these camps. But you see them a lot at the, you're starting to see them a lot more at the, like, the travel tournaments that we have. So, like, or the big high school tournaments where it's easy, right? Like, they don't have to come to just one game because the games are only an hour and a half long, right? And make that trek to see one, two players, like, okay, what are the big tournaments coming up, whether it's travel or high school? And they can kind of see, the whole talent pool that's out there. But we're definitely seeing a lot more of that in both high school and the travel circuit for sure.
Right on.
Malia, do you prefer sevens or fives compared to each
Yeah, I
other?
prefer fives better because lately, like for high school this season, there was like a really big change in rules, and that like it made me I kind of like going back to fives it's like kind of like a sense of like normalcy in the game.
Non-contact.
Yeah,
No,
I
I
mean
definitely
that.
agree.
Yeah, the whole screen position is always kind of strange to me, and I feel like that limits that player to really like showing, what she's capable of. So I think that's tough to be like get on the high school team and they're like, yeah, you're just gonna stand here with your hands behind your back and like that's your job. So Chris, do you feel like it like do you think that's makes sense to have high school be sevens, or where are you at with that?
I mean, I'm not opposed to, like, seven. Like, I love the rules that they had last year because it was more like a combination of sevens and, like, non-con. But this year they completely changed it, and I get it because they wanted to have, like, a uniform rule book for all high schools. This is the format they play in college, but it was just like a complete change. Like, we had to change everything that we did on offense, right? Because it was the rush went from 5 yards to 1 yard, right? And then so it was okay, now we got to teach the center instead of snapping from the side. Now we got to teach her, like, how to actually long snap because we got to give Malia more time, teach these girls how to block. So it was a lot more like regular football, which I get why they kind of wanted that to resemble as well. But there was definitely some growing pains this year because last year there was a big gap between the high schools that had quarterbacks that had never played before, right? Like, there's a gap between the experienced quarterbacks and the inexperienced, and that just increased the gap this year, right? Because now you have someone coming at you from 1 yard. So if that it's a bad snap and the quarterback's looking for the ball, by the time they get it, that rusher's right there in their face, So it just completely changed the game. But you just got to adjust.
Yeah, growing pains wise, for sure. When you're just getting a new sport like that, is there a rule that like you absolutely are like this doesn't make any sense as far as flag football goes, or?
I think just the way each ref interpreted the blocking. right? Because depending on the ref crew that you got, like they had different explanations for the blocking. So it wasn't really like a uniform answer no matter where you went, right? So I think that was the biggest thing is just the blocking. Because it was supposed to be hands down or behind your back. You have to stay within the frame. And then you're playing some teams where they're full on extending their arms and the refs aren't calling anything. And it's like they're just running through my girls and hitting them, you know, and you're not calling anything. So that was probably the biggest. And it wasn't really like that's the rule, it is what it is, but it was just like the interpretation of it, like depending on which crew you got and where you went to go play.
Gotcha. So now transitioning back into fives, I saw you guys post something. You guys got tryouts. What does that look like? You're gonna have three different age divisions this year, or how does that look?
Yeah, so we're going to have three age groups. So we have 12s, 14s, and 17U. And we had a couple tryouts in the summer. But from what we experienced last year, like after the high school season, you just have an influx of girls that want to continue playing, right? So it could have been, you know, maybe they made varsity, they didn't get the reps that they wanted, so they want to get some extra work in, right? Or you have girls that, you know, they played it, this is their senior year. They want to play in college, so they want to get more reps. They want to get more film for these coaches, right? So there's girls from every different side of the spectrum, and whatever their goals are, that's what we're trying to do. So we're having another tryout since majority of the girls are done with playoffs, just to capture some of those girls that may have missed it in the summer and may not have been thinking about playing flag on the travel circuit, and just giving them those opportunities. So, but yeah, but we have those three age groups.
Nice. So, Malia, how is it now having former and current teammates that played internationally in Asia this past weekend?
It's pretty cool that like they got to do that and like they got to play in like a different country against like other countries. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, do you have aspirations for yourself, like as far as the national team goes?
Yeah, I mean, I want to do something like that.
And so, also, Chris, as far as you go, like, you know, now you're a head coach at a high school. Your playing days aren't happening as much. You're coaching a traveling team. What other goals do you have as far as flag football?
I do want to get out there a little bit more. And play because I feel like I'm just getting more and more out of shape the longer I don't play. So that's definitely a short-term goal is to play on Sundays. You know, I mean, right now that we're transitioning to travel and just, you know, that's going to go from, you know, November through July. So just trying to you know, get these girls back into the familiarity of playing in fives. Right, because they're all coming from different coaching, different schools, and all that type of stuff. So we got to get them back on our program, get used to playing fives again, and then just seeing what we can do on the travel circuit. Right, like we gotta. I think we had some great success last year, with our 14 with all levels, but 14U and 17U specifically. You know, we qualified for the NFL Flag Championships. Our girls got into the TV bracket, so they played on ESPN. So that's always our goal when it comes to travel. Is to get to the NFL Flag Championships and then obviously compete and then just kind of go from there. So that's our aspiration when it comes to that. I'm going to be coaching high school at least the next 2 years because I don't want to do anything, you know, move on to anything else and miss out the opportunity to coach her through her, you know, junior and senior year. So I'll be in the high school game for at least the next 2 years for sure.
Gotcha. So Malia, I just want to ask you this as far as like all the different games you played in and different, you know, travel and high school. What has been the like most exciting game you've been a part of?
I think the most exciting game I've been a part of is this season.
Yeah, walk off touchdown.
Nice.
That's awesome.
There you go. And Chris, for you, what's the biggest game you've been a part of, either playing or coaching?
That one's up there. I would say one of the biggest ones that we've been a part of. I want to say, like, even though it wasn't a win, like, just being out there last year in Ohio and, like, the girls getting into the TV bracket playing against Athena, like, it wasn't the result that we wanted, but just the fact that, like, we were one of the top 16 teams in the country that made it to that event and just giving that girl, the girls, that exposure. I feel that was the biggest thing, right? Because it's like going back to when we first, like when Malia first started or when we started the team, like that wasn't even a thought in our minds, like in my mind at least, like this is what girls flag can become. And just being able to being out there with the girls and giving them those opportunities, you know, like that's the whole purpose of us, you know, starting the team and getting involved in girls flag and just to kind of see it come to fruition. Obviously we wish it was a different result, but I feel like that was one of the coolest games that I've been a part of.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I appreciate you guys coming on and just speaking about, you know, all of this stuff going on in the Inland Empire. Chris, on a personal level, you know, I've witnessed firsthand, like, all that you've done for the growth of flag football, not only for your daughter, but a lot of other people's daughters. You know, my daughter played on your team for a little bit as well. And, you know, and then I also got to speak on the fact that, like, my team and your team and the, you know, after COVID, we had some really good battles and, yeah. I missed the program. Like, I want to see that team come back and travel. I think that you guys had kind of the similar thing of what Ronan's doing. And so, hopefully, you know, you do get one more run, maybe a Peyton Manning kind of, you know, right off into the sunset kind of situation, you know. But we appreciate you joining us tonight and sharing your guys' stories.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you guys. Yeah, like those battles were fun during COVID in Vegas, and we play at Colorado State in that stadium. So those are some good times during COVID.
For sure. Yes, sir. All right. Well, y'all have a good rest of your evening.
All right. Thank you.
See you guys.
Have a good one.
There we go, man. Just a little taste of the action going on in Southern California.
Just a taste.
Just a taste. Just a little bit.
Just a taste.
So it's crazy because that's, you know, that program, there was like four players from that team that were on the American Samoan team, and they're all still either 17, 18, you know, to be able to, you know, compete internationally. So, you know, it's kind of crazy that all unfolded like that. And speaking of that, there was a big tournament in China this past weekend.
Yep, you stayed up for the entire thing.
There was exciting games going on, both men's and women's. Did you catch any highlights? Was there anything?
No, it was way too late.
Okay, all right, fair enough. It was a lot of fun.
I did see a couple of the highlights from it. It looked like it was a pretty good time. It looked like Joe showed out. Looked like our guy Adam showed out. Looks like they had a pretty good tournament over there.
Yeah, no, I do think that you know, there were some of those outlier teams, just like we saw in Europe, where like you know, brand new to it, India, Kuwait, kind of just starting to get into flag football as far as it goes, and then they got to face these powerhouses of, you know, Japan and, you know, now this new powerhouse of China, that this is their, you know, first year internationally. And they've already, you know, for women's, they won. For men's, they finished fourth place.
Let's not get it twisted. My dog, Pat Alley, is over there taking care of business. Like, he's getting things done. Very good.
So he wasn't as present in the women's sideline as, you know, I think he helped them with the World Games and then maybe kind of handed that off. He was coaching the men's game. And yeah, he was taking care of business until he met my guys from the American Samoa team, who pulled off the upset in some people's eyes.
Huh? Was that what you guys are calling Night Owls? Is that what you guys are calling it?
That game was on at like 7 in the morning, bro. It wasn't even a Night Owl thing. Like, what that was.
That's because you guys stayed up all night and then got to that game.
No, I can tell. No, for sure. Absolutely. I do think that Pat, you know, like, you could tell that the offense is being run for the China team. Like, it's so reminiscent of what you see out of a Texas team. Like, those are his playbooks for sure. You know, so yeah, no, absolutely. But it was that Samoa and China game for the bronze, for the final spot, for Dusseldorf. It was back and forth. It really looked like Samoa was like pulling away. And then Pat, like, called a timeout, and he, like, spoke a bunch of magic, and like, they got fired up, they got an interception, they, like, you know, they were just, I don't know, they were re-energized, they came back, and they just kind of ran out of time, but, so now they got, now this is what's weird, because I've heard two different things. I don't know if you've heard anything. So I've heard that the top six from Dusseldorf, that's the Olympic six.
Okay.
And then I've also heard that, like, the top three from Dusseldorf will make it in. And then the Continentals the following year will help determine who the other ones are. Now, we already know the U.S. will be in the Olympics because they're the host country.
Right. So it's the next five at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. So... So it's kind of, like, how do you feel about that? Like, okay, so Dusseldorf's the world championship for IPAF. Do you feel like those, like, essentially five countries should make it there, or do you, like, should that even matter because it's 2 years away? What are your thoughts?
Here's the tough thing. You had a qualifying event, so not everybody will be in Dusseldorf. Isn't that how you say it?
Dusseldorf.
What would Shrek
there's say? There's like the two apostrophes the above dots, the U.
Yeah. So I've already got, if you go back in previous episodes, and for those of you guys just tuning in tonight, my thought was you have each continental winner makes it, and then you have an at large?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's four continentals and then the at-large, because Asia and Oceania combine. So I think it's a tough sell, but I think that's – I mean, at this point, here's the crazy thing. We're going from 2026, and you're going to say, okay, now you have to – your bid, the top five from there make it, and then they have to sit for a year, and then they play again, and then they go to the Olympics. And then the crazy thing is the world championships are in 2028. That's not a part of the Olympics. That's after the Olympics. So yeah. I was talking to a good pal of mine. I won't name drop because asked me not to. that was brought up.
This friend of yours.
This friend of mine. We'll just call him Shrek for now. This friend of mine was telling me that – you have to think about it. If they turn around after the Olympics and go to the World Championships, if you have NFL players on that roster, you're probably only going to be able to cap out at six of them because you're going to need all the reserves then to go back onto the active roster so those NFL players can go play their NFL games. After the Olympics, they don't care what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. So how does that happen? How does that work? You're going to say the USA is going to sit out from a world championship? That's Bologna in Dusseldorf.
Yeah, that's I mean, there's a lot of stuff to factor in. And, like, in a lot of ways, we're just, like, in the dark because this is all brand new that's unfolding. Now, I also heard that
– my lights are on.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I got a lamp right here. If that that means
lamp
anything.
Lamp time. Okay.
You got too many Blue's Clues references, bro. I feel.
That's the first one.
A couple weeks ago, you were saying something about Notebook, or I don't know what you were saying, but you
got them.
So I also heard that Oceania is going to get their own tournament. I think that they realize that more countries are going to get brought in, and there's so many time zones that the Asia Oceania covers that it just kind of makes sense to split that. So if that's the case, then you're looking at five continentals. And then essentially, like, the host country gets it.
Yep.
So that makes it kind of easier for the six, right?
I mean, I guess. Kind of dumb. I still say you just have one massive tournament and let them all play it out for that at-large spot. I also still, full disclosure, still really don't understand this bracket with Asia Oceania. It was weird, right? They split and then they combined. And then they split and then they combined. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so really strange. So for the men's, I think there were four groups that were from Asia, and then there was one from Oceania, and everybody in the Asia group got four games. So they played everybody in their pool, and then the Oceania played each team twice.
What?
Yeah. because there was only three. There was Australia, New Zealand, and Samoa. So they each played each other twice. Australia beat everybody, so then they moved on to the right away. They were in the gold medal game.
Wait a minute, what?
Yes, so that's, they were in the gold medal game.
That's dumb.
And then
you have all those teams and you just bypass it. No, that's dumb.
So here how what Asia had to do there. So they had eight qualify, and then they had a quarterfinals, a semifinals.
But they had 12, right?
No, so they had I think it would have been 20 teams. Because they had five teams in each one. For
that's
the men's.
Dumb. Okay.
So then eight made it into the playoffs. They had quarterfinals, semifinals. So for the and then they had a championship for Asia, which ended up being Japan, China.
China, right. Knew that one.
Yeah.
So
then all of those got shifted into placements. But so did the Oceania teams. So Samoa, because they went 1-1 in Oceania, they got an automatic spot in the bronze medal game. And then the loser of China and Japan went into the bronze medal game.
What?
So the loser of the Asia Championship went to the bronze medal game, and the winner went to the gold medal game. So it was Australia against Japan for the men's. And then it was China, Samoa for the bronze. New Zealand got into some placement game, like fifth, I think for fifth. I think they got fifth place. And they went 0-4.
They're garbage. Let's shift here just a hair because of all this happened. How do you feel about teams not getting a chance to fight it out in the bracket? And automatically just put in a spot.
Yeah, so that, I mean, it's almost like, it's not even as, okay, so you know what we've seen before with, like, you know, the backyard tournaments where everybody's pool play together, and then based on record, like, all the losers go to a B division, and the winners go to an A division. We've seen that, but everybody battling.
Or they pay for it. They pay for that split.
Yeah. So then, but this isn't even that, because it literally essentially the three Oceania teams, it didn't matter what they did, they were going to get placed in a game.
Right.
But all the other teams had to play to get into those games.
I want to know what moron thought of this. I'm sorry. I don't try to be rude, but that is so dumb. Like, I get they're not from the same continent, and I get that Oceania doesn't have enough teams maybe to have their own tournament. But how are you going to take – you have – it's 23 teams essentially, right?
Yeah, I think so.
How are you going to take 23 teams and say, okay, you three, here's how it's going to work. Here's the deal. The top team out of bracket or pool play is going to go to the gold medal game. You're just going to sit for a few days. The second place is going to go to the bronze medal game. You didn't get to earn anything. You just went straight to that game. That's garbage.
Yeah, because they played New Zealand twice. They played Samoa twice, and then they were in.
That's baloney.
not
a fan. 0 out of 5 stars. Would not recommend.
And no offense to these teams, but Australia blew those teams out. I mean, those 4 games were easy wins for them. So where, like, literally Japan and China were in the same pool.
Right. That's another wild. I mean, I get, like, they probably. I'm assuming it was a random
for that. Random,
you
know, yeah.
And that's fine. You get the luck of the draw. You can't complain about that. That's random. But you have 20 other teams on another side. Mix them in. Let them earn it. If you're gonna cut it, that should have been a 23 in pool play, and then play it out in bracket. Give it one big bracket. Let them play it out. They do all the seeding games of the World Championships. Why not there? I want to know who the brainiac was who figured that out. And when I just have some questions.
I think yeah, I see that everywhere, man. It's not just me.
It's awesome for somebody to get stuff lifted off the ground. I see it a ton of different, and I see it all the time. But people say first annual, and it drives me insane. You can't have a first annual because you haven't had the first one yet.
You know what it is, though? It's because people can't spell inaugural.
It is a tough word. It's a pause.
Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to.
Or maybe they just don't
really. Like that, I think inauguration
is talking about the president. I don't do impressions. So
I just think that maybe the goal behind it, or the reasoning behind it, is to ensure that Oceania was represented in Dusseldorf, because basically that's Australia was guaranteed a spot. They won their pool and they were in.
Okay, so here's how I feel they should have done it. Then this is what they should have done. You give it to the highest seeded team. If you want representation and you want that guaranteed spot, do like they do with you know, I've been a part of tournaments, and this was way back in the day when you didn't have enough A and B teams to play, right? So we would say, okay, we're gonna do an open bracket. You sign up for A or B, you're gonna play. The team in B that makes it the furthest is the B winner. That, I mean, it's, you know, right, wrong, indifferent. You're still playing games. You're still getting – because they played what? Australia played what? 4-5 games?
Yeah. Yep.
It's a long way to travel for 5 games. It's a long.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think about, because I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the last time they had this Continental, Thailand won in the men's.
Oh, really?
I think so. And so know. They, like, they didn't do bad in pool play, but they didn't even get a chance at the medal game.
See, it's let them play. So, let them play it out. Let the teams decide. Don't make it so predetermined. I don't like that, man.
But clearly it wasn't something that was uniform, because I mean, we talked about it in the European tournament. Yeah. There was three or four countries that weren't really Europe. Well, what if they had put them in a pool and they had done the same thing with that? Like,
yep.
And then you would have ended up with Georgia earning an automatic spot, and then they would have gone to the gold medal game and got blown out by Italy.
Bananas. Absolutely. Like, bananas. Here would be my thought then. Because I still struggle with how they signed up or how they were in the Euro games and not in Asia. Do you think they had how far in advance do you think this had to be? They had to be signed up for these Continentals.
I don't know, because Israel's been a part of the European.
All right, here we go.
I did. They're not part of Europe. It's not part of Europe.
There were several that signed up. Like, and I agree. Like, they should play within. Like, I think IFAB should probably come back and restructure that a little bit. Just from a competitive standpoint, you know, like from a geographical standpoint, don't have people who aren't in that continent playing. That'd be like the USA going and playing in the Asia Oceania, you know. They all went loading up on America Samoa. That'd be fun.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I mean, you wonder if like the speed and growth of the game is just too much for IFAB to like keep up to. And so they kind of had this like grand plan of like, this is how we're going to do things. And then the last like 5-10 years, things have just exploded. And they're like, okay, now, well, we ought to make a decision. Because initially, like the world championships that were in Finland, they didn't have a cap on how many teams went. So like, I think it was like Cameroon was there, and that was their first international trip.
Cool. Awesome. Put them on the bracket.
Yeah, and they were there. They played in the pool play, and I think they played in like the 16-17 game or whatever. Like they were
– right. And that's like fine. You know. If that's what they earn, let them play in that. That's perfectly fine. What's up, Dale? If that's all they earn, let them do that. Let them earn. If they get, you know, in the open bracket and they're like the 18th seed, let's say all of a sudden they flip a switch and become total dogs, let them have their chance to fight. You know, that'd be like us taking the world championships and saying, okay, 1 versus 64. If the one seed's going to go automatically to the championship, 64 gets to play in the fifth place placement game. That's not right. I don't like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that I also think that they're just doing too many pool play games. Like they're doing three or four pool play games that there was after day one, there was like a handful of teams that they were like, oh, they've already qualified for the placement games. And they hadn't even played all their pool play games.
Oh, because of record.
Yeah, and so it was like, okay, so then these other games don't even matter in that. So if they went down to like two pool play games for each, and then turn it into a winners and losers bracket.
So
I don't know.
Well, fun counter to that would be take USA flag. We do two pool play games and we go straight to single elimination, right?
Yeah.
You can forfeit your pool play games and go straight into the bracket. You know, so ultimately those pool play games, they're good for placement. They're good. They're good to play. Like, I don't get me wrong. I am a fan of playing your pool play games, figure things out, get a taste of what the other teams are looking like and figure out what's going on within your tournament. And then try to go win it. But it's a tough sell for me to have so much weight on your pool play games that you don't even get to play in a bracket. You just go straight to placement games.
Yeah, especially because it's a random draw. Like, you don't even have a choice in who you're playing in those.
90% of that tournament was random draw. You got, so was it the same on the women's side?
Yeah, they just had less. I think they only had two or three for the Asia, okay. And then the Oceania had one. And that's why Australia, the women's, they got right into the gold medal. That game, that's what's crazy, is so everybody beat each other in the first day. New Zealand beat Australia. Australia beat Samoa. Samoa beat New Zealand. So after day one, there was not a clear cut. Whereas in like the Asia bracket, they already had people that were like, oh yeah, they're on to the placement games or whatever. So then it's starting to look the same way. The night game or the final game of that second day, it was New Zealand and Australia back and forth. It was an amazing game, literally like last minute of the game, Australia pulls off this touchdown, and that touchdown put them in the gold medal game. One score. Because they had already beaten Samoa. All they had to do was beat New Zealand. So that was the difference. And then New Zealand got dropped down to I don't even know what. I think that maybe they went into the fifth place game, which I don't know where New Zealand landed after that.
See, I don't like that.
But yeah, so then Australia was guaranteed a spot again in Dusseldorf, no matter how they played against China. Now they fared pretty good because that was a good gold medal game as well.
And good on them for being there and competing with what they were given. I just don't like that setup.
Because you think about it, put this into the Americas. So the situation that happened with the women's in Panama, because Canada beat Mexico. So because of that happening, like, Mexico probably wouldn't even had a chance to make the gold medal match.
You would have been crushed.
I would have been crushed. But then it would have been like, then it would have been like El Salvador against Canada for the gold medal game or something like that.
Whoa,
like,
whoa.
We know what happened.
Let's relax. All right. Let's just carry that big beard around and starting to really weigh you down, okay? Beard has grown a lot in the last little bit.
It has? Well, yeah. I got a little bit.
Yeah, you're starting to look like a lumber. Yeah, do that to the top. Never mind.
Hey, we don't all have a front mullet, bro, like you.
What? What'd you say?
That Saturday Night Live skit that I think I sent it to you with the guys talking about snacks. They all had your haircut.
Oh man! So the girl that cuts my hair, she called it the fuckboy haircut. So, she called that. I told her, I said, never call that again, or I'm done.
I hate to say it, bro, but it's kind.
They have somebody to follow, and I understand. I can be their leader. Me,
it's a brain rot kind of haircut.
It's fine. Me and Shrek, we got it.
Okay, well, I guess that's enough ragging on the Asias and how they messed up their little tournament. It was a lot of fun to watch. It's cool to see American players. I feel like I've talked about this as far as like you know, seeing American players play in these tournaments in Thailand and China over the last, you know, 18 months or so. And then all of a sudden, here they are, like they were playing for the Philippines. They were, you know, we had Tutu coaching the Thailand women's team. American Samoa had probably 10 American, you know, players, you know, so there was a lot of, there was a presence, you know, we got Pat Alley, can't forget Pat. He was, you know, coaching the China team. Mm-hmm. So I just, what do you think about that as far as that goes? Is this, it doesn't seem that hard. It seems like all you got to do is get a passport in that country. So, is this the beginning of like every country across the globe, or do you think there's going to be some gatekeeping going on as far as some of these countries? Like, they're not going to let American players come in.
I think it's going to be a mixed bag, right? They're going to be selective with who they let in. I think to what you said, I think there's going to be some gatekeeping. They're going to pay attention to who they allow, who they don't allow. I think it's a little bit more than just getting a passport. You've got to have descent from that country. Like, and it's got to be direct descent. So, and you've got to be able to prove it. So I think you're going to see some of the ones who do have the heritage and the lineage to go, they're going to do it. I think it's great. Go for it. You know, why not? You get, it's a huge opportunity. But I think you're going to see, Tutu was coaching Indonesia's women's team.
I saw that.
I was going to say, you're not right. You were wrong. Wrong. I don't do impressions.
Hey.
But what?
Go ahead.
What? No, go ahead. What? You started it. You yelled.
No, I just, you know, I was going to say, but Ice is on a national team already. I was like, he's played in some other countries.
He's already on the national team. I see some players trying, and I see some places it not being worthwhile for them to allow it or for players to go there. Like we've talked about, it's only going to be 5 other countries outside the U.S. that make it. So those teams that are the real contenders, they're not looking for that. They're looking to bolster within and really kind of like firm up, you know, what they already have.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, this is the goofiest part of it all is like, we don't know how the whole Canada, US, Mexico, how that's going to land in those 6 spots. But truly, those are the 3 teams that continue to compete on both men's and women's side. Like, they're going to be top 5. Like, we just know that. And then, yeah, we've got like the European countries, like whether it's Italy or Austria, Great Britain, like those are top contenders. And now we've got kind of, you know, Japan, China, Australia, you know, so we kind of know where, like, maybe we have like 8 or 9 teams that we think, okay, these are the teams that have, you know, a legitimate chance.
No.
And so what, how much are they going to really want to change if they have a legitimate chance?
Sure.
You know, cause they've got chemistry. They've already, plus like, then you throw in the mix of like these NFL players, whether they're international or trying to play for the U.S., they're not going to be going to all the camps. They're not going to be going to, you know, all these extra workouts. I mean, the Great Britain women's team, they came to America over the summer and played in 2 random tournaments in New England, you know? So, like, but they're, an NFL player is not going to do that. Like they're not,
right.
You know, I so, like, see-
Right. I see 4 or 5 of them being on the team, and I see 4 or 5, like, once things kind of settle out, or at least trying to get on the team. Because ultimately, like my friend said, you know, the World Championships are right after, the Olympics. So they're gonna have to be, you have to have people to replace if those guys are not able to play. Once I think the realization of that all clicks with all the big leagues involved, you'll see some realizations from it. But I still think like you kind of hit the nail on the head too, talking about it's going to be the top five teams. I don't think they would pull from the Continentals. Continentals don't, the only weight they carry is going into the World Championships. They're going to want to pull from the World Championships. They're not going to want to pull from a qualifier.
Yeah.
They're going to want to pull from a legit tournament. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I just, I don't know. I also wonder, like, what's the regulations of this? Because just what we've seen is like, okay, you make the national team in whatever it is, March or April, and then you're on that team for the entire year. But, like, that's not really how, like, that's not how basketball does it as far as the national teams. Like, NBA players come and go. Like, they barely play. And then there's a whole other team that plays in their place.
They still do it similar to this, though. They still do it annually. They renew those annual, those, it may be, we probably don't see what the tryout is for them, but they, yeah, it's a select, they do a selection because they're pulling just NBA players. It's not a,
yeah, but like, but after, but you know, when they're not like, when they have a championship or a tournament, you know, prior to, the NBA players aren't playing in that. It's somebody else.
They've got the FIBA player. They've got players that, like, low-level NBA or college players that play annually. They're also playing off-season time. They're not playing in-season. And FIBA lines up more with the Olympics because it's an established sport. IFAF, they map their stuff out, you know, probably 10, 15 years in advance. And, yeah, so they – oh, by the way, we're not going to change our stuff. We're just going to keep it all the same. Hope it works. I mean, they'll probably have a placement game for that too. So,
yeah, you know, and the other thing though, this is the other thing I heard, which is wild to me, is that the decision has to be made about renewing flag football prior to 2028.
Nice. Okay, I'm with it. So probably next year. And to be honest with you, think about it. Think about it. All the hype they've got around it right now. Maybe, yeah, you know, I'm hearing from it from people who would never talk about football or flag football or anything like that. They're talking about it now. So if they're talking about it, that means it's getting some attention, and it's in a positive way. I don't see them getting rid of it.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think there's I don't know, you know, Dean was crazy to say it's going to be a bust. That was it was wild.
You brought him on.
Hey, but, you know, speaking of that, I just want to bring it up. Can anybody challenge you when it comes to debates? Like, I want to see if anybody can come on this show. And, because, hey, I lined up Petty Pat. And
he showed
up and he fell, and that was a landslide victory. I mean, he didn't stand a chance. Now Dean at least put up a fight because people on the chat loved him.
Here's the difference between Pat and Dean, and it's timing. Number one, Pat and I debated when we had 6 followers. Now we have 12, okay, and they all wanted to agree with Dean, even when Dean was dead wrong. And for the record, like, let's just say this, we give the debaters the opportunity. They choose how they want to argue. I just argue against whatever they say. They say up, I say down. So it doesn't mean my personal beliefs. I just play devil's advocate. That's for all the viewers.
Yeah.
I know Ant could care less. he just gets a kick out of me yelling at people.
So. especially wearing sunglasses and 3 or 4 buttons open. Like, that's wild. I didn't expect that at all.
That's right.
Oh, man. No, I mean, yeah. So that was a lot of fun last week. You know, again, I appreciate Chris and Malia coming on, representing SoCal Reign and all that's going on in Southern California. And shout out to, like, I just want to say this in general. I just think I'm starting to see a lot of people of my generation of flag football players they are truly giving back to the flag football world, coaching now high school girls, because it's everywhere. It's crazy that, you know, there's still not states that have sanctioned it, but all the states that have sanctioned it, like, there are former players, people I went against, people I, you know, played flag with or ref with and all of that, that are now like, no, this, hey, sorry, I'm not traveling right now because, or I'm not playing anymore because they are sacrificing their time and energy into building up, you know, girls, high school, flag football, the next generation. You know, I there's so many coaches, but I mean, Jack Jack is a coach at a school, you know, like Chris said, Juice, Chucky Lozano, who is like a legend in Southern California, he's coaching. You know, there's a lot of coaches out there that were former players, and I appreciate that. I think it's amazing, because there's also, on the flip side of it, there's a lot of people that are just like, they're still slinging the rock. They, you know, all they want to do is play because they want to fill up their trophy case at home, and but that doesn't help the game at all. And so, you know, sorry.
You know, but, you funny know. Enough, a lot of times I used to say, like, oh, you know, when players are done, they come and officiate, and that's what makes better officials. And I still believe that, but you're seeing where people have that kind of that crossroad now. They don't have just two choices. They have actually a third now, where they can go and coach and be, you know, high schools and colleges are hiring everybody right now to be a part of programs. And it's a great thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, speaking of officiating and all that, anything crazy, exciting going on in your world, Jacob, as far as officiating? Or?
Next week. So Jordan Baker and I are going, we got a high school game next week that we were just called locally to start doing some high school girls flag. So we're going to knock that out. You know, we're getting into November, we got nationals coming up, Turkey Bowl's coming up. And then just kind of gearing up for Worlds, man. I'm pretty damn excited for Worlds.
Yeah. Anything you want to share? Anything?
No.
Okay. All right.
Nah, actually, I will say this, and this is, I don't like to count my chickens before before the eggs hatch. That's a good little Southernism there for you, Aunt.
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But right now, at the World Championships, we have 19 different countries signed up to officiate. You know, people coming from all parts of the world. I think it's five or six of the seven of continents. You know, like we've got people from all over the world coming for this. Super exciting.
Any penguins?
No penguins. No, not yet. Sorry. Zebras. It's okay. Well, now I'm disappointed. So. I am really excited. Like, and the more the word gets out, and the more interest people have in traveling and wanting to come and work with us and officiate, the conversations I've had over the last few months have just been, it's been amazing. So I'm really looking forward to it. Really excited. Just can't wait.
Yeah, no, for sure. This weekend, me and my daughter will be present in the Ohio States going on. We'll be down in Columbus, and so Katura will be reffing, and I'll be behind the camera. I'll be going live, on the field. I imagine there's going to be some fun contact. People say I've heard Ohio's like a, you know, that's a rec competition, but just what I heard, I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I'm going to find out. I'm going to see what it's all about. So let's see if, hopefully there's some of those, Goodfellas, SMYTDs, those kind of teams. Hopefully they're there, and I can see some, what do they call it? Good scratch. What is it? What's the term? Wreck. Good wreck. I couldn't think of the term.
Man.
Anyway, so that's what's going scratch. On with us.
Good scratch, guys. in the Columbus area, they have good scratch.
Oh, man.
I feel like that's a derogatory term.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we got to talk about our merch store. Okay, yeah,
let me get out of the way. Go ahead.
We got so many products now on there. Check them out. There's shorts and pants, joggers, jackets, hoodies, sports bra. If you want a Clocks Running sports bra, you can get that. A bucket hat, beanies, all kinds of stuff. And the cool thing about this merch store is it ships right to your house. It's very simple. You go on, you order what you want, and it shows up pretty quick. It's a quick turnaround. So, in the past, it's kind of we're slow moving as far as that goes because we have still to, you know. So, but this store is a little faster.
Tariffs taken care of, okay? Clock's running. I don't do impersonation, sorry.
But let me tell you where you can find us. We've been live on Instagram all night. We've had lots of people in the chat. Appreciate everyone there. We're on Facebook Live. We're on YouTube Live. Our show lands on YouTube. Ultimately, that's where you can find us in person, looking at my big beard and the brain rot haircut of Jacob's. And so it's not a phase. And then we're on Facebook live as well. Ultimately, our mothership is Instagram. That's where all of our clips and everything goes. And that's where, hey, like I said, we just hit 6,000. We're almost to 6,100 followers. Like, we're just continuing to grow and continuing to prove to everybody that we are the number one undisputed flag football podcast in the world.
In the world. The whole wide world. Clock's running. It's us. Dean, whatever your costume is, why don't you go put your dress back on, bro?
What? Oh, dough. No. I was like, I don't have a dress. I don't even have a costume for Halloween this year.
Whoa, man.
But, well, didn't realize yeah, but I'm a... I know. Well, no, that's Christmas, bro.
Same thing. Tomato, potato.
So ultimately, also, our podcast is available anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Pandora, Deezer, things like that. You can find us on TikTok and Twitch and Snapchat, and those are all extensions of Instagram. Please like, subscribe, follow, check out our merch store. Support your friends, right? Instead of spending millions of dollars for a Louis Vuitton bag that doesn't, you know, help anybody out, support your friends first. Come on. Yeah, you know, and get this, where is it? Get this ugly mug on something.
He's right there. He's right
there. Yeah, right there. Right there. So, all right, go ahead. Close this out, Jacob. You want to put your Shrek mask on?
No. What are you doing with my Shrek mask on? Why would I do that? That's ridiculous.
But to close out the show, that's all we got. Clock's been running. Clock's ran out. Good night, everybody. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week.